the Civic Media Radio Network, moving Wisconsin forward one joke at a time. This is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
And so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes, and so it goes. But where it's going, no one knows. Hello, Wisconsin!
Now, filling in for the new mom, here's Jane Mattenair.
Good morning and welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. So glad to have you joining us in Eau Claire and Green Bay and the place where I have never been, which I know I will love when I finally get up there. From our station in Amory, Wisconsin, it's the Lake Air. Thank you for joining us. It's Thursday at 11:06, and that means it is time for our public cervix announcement. Dr. Kristen Lyerly is with us. Good morning, doctor.
Hi, doc.
Hello again.
We cannot hear you. Hello.
Can you hear me now?
There we go.
Now we can hear you.
You would think I would know. Hey, maybe we should do a live broadcast from the brewery up in Amory, which is fantastic.
Oh,
you got to get there.
You've been to Amory?
Oh, yeah. I rode my bike through Amory.
I'll be darned. I've never been there either.
It's one of those places that I've never been, like Vancouver, British Columbia.
Oh, I hear it's beautiful.
I know I would love it there, and I've never been, and I feel the same way about Amory. So we'll have to go bike riding, and then we'll go drinking.
They go together.
That sounds like a smart plan.
Yeah, well, she's a doctor. I follow my doctor's advice.
I'm here for you.
So we're going to start out by talking about estrogen and estrogen pellet therapy. I have never heard of this.
This is news to me.
What is this?
You haven't heard about pellets?
No.
Come on, guys. They've been around since the 40s.
It's all new. It's all
this
new
is,
to me.
This is news to me, too. I didn't know anything about these things. So explain to me what they are. What is it?
So these are literally estrogen pellets that are inserted under your skin every 3 months to provide hormone replacement. And they are not uncommonly used by people who aren't super excited about what the conventional treatments are out there. So they'll seek out other providers who are compounding their medications, and they're doing things like saliva testing and things that aren't considered like conventional traditional medicine. And it sounds pretty straightforward, there are problems when you compound things, combine things, and then inject them under your skin. Can you imagine?
I can imagine.
I just did.
So I want to make sure that I'm understanding this. So the whole point is to affect your symptoms of menopause? Is that what this is about?
That's exactly what this is about. When this first came about, there were, medicine has really evolved a lot in the last 100 years, especially in women's health when everything was super taboo. So there were women who didn't have their ovaries and they were suffering mightily, as many of us understand. Like, women suffer often with menopause. And what they discovered was they could inject these pellets and women felt much better once they had that replacement therapy. But what they didn't know way back then was if you give somebody who still has a uterus unopposed estrogen, you just give them the estrogen, then it creates that tissue that typically, if you're having a normal cycle, will become your period every month. But if you don't have normal periods, you don't have the normal cycle of hormones, that tissue just grows and builds and it can turn into a cancer, which is one of the problems that we've seen with these pellets, both way back in the 40s and 50s and now. Sometimes these pellets have too much estrogen and people end up with supra physiologic doses and they can develop a cancer.
Wow. Okay. Where can you get these said pellets?
Well, typically conventional doctors like board certified OBGYNs like me, we offer other alternatives. We offer pills, patches, sprays, rings. There are lots of different ways that you can get these hormones into your body. The pellets are typically offered by alternative providers. So people who are maybe lifestyle medicine docs or, not necessarily your mainstream folks. And, to be very fair, pellet therapy can work for some people, But it does need to be very carefully monitored. And you have to make sure if you're choosing a compound pharmacy for any medication, not just hormones, not just estrogen, but for any medications, you need to make sure that that therapy is, or that that pharmacy is reputable, because they are literally making your medicines there at the pharmacy. This is not something that goes through the whole FDA process. It's not something that's regulated or monitored. It is something that they are kind of making in their kitchen. So you want to make sure that they are a good, solid provider before you start injecting something in your body that's going to stay there for 3 months.
Our guest is Dr. Kristen Lierley. She joins us every Thursday for our public cervix announcements, and we're talking about estrogen pellet treatments. I don't know. I went through menopause, and it wasn't great, but I didn't, I mean, I don't
see,
know.
My mom suffered.
Did she?
Yeah, my mom was terrible. Mine was just lengthy. It just never was ending, you know? It was one of those things that just was like, oh, God, I've got another hot flash, really? Really? But I mean, yeah. But my mom did really suffer. She really had trouble with menopause.
And was it the hot flashes?
It was the lack of sleep. It was the hot flashes. It was the... she was edgy. She was, you know, anxious. You name it. That was what happened. So I don't know. And this probably would have been something that would have been an advantage for her. Yeah.
Again, I had the hot flashes. I was certainly not any crankier than I am normally. I was pretty, pretty much standard cranky for me. I don't know.
I told a story off the air before we even got started, and it's kind of funny, but I was having a really bad episode, let's call it that. And I got into my kitchen and I took everything off. My kids were off, you know, they weren't at home
Carol.
Anymore. I took everything Woo. Off. And I stood in front of the kitchen sink and splashed cold water all over me. I just could not get, you know, the steam was coming off. To which all
some
of a sudden,
people use a shower, yeah, but well, the kitchen sink works too.
I didn't make it upstairs.
Wow!
But then all of a sudden, this is Doc. This is what I heard behind me. What you doing? And my husband had come home from work. I'm standing naked in the kitchen spraying myself with cold water. There.
Whatever works menopause. For you.
Yeah. Menopause makes people crazy.
A texter from the 715 says, without my estradiol, no one would ever want to talk to me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm telling you, people are the symptoms that some people just glide through it and it's no problem. Some people suffer remarkably. Hot flashes and night sweats. Night sweats keep you up. Yeah. And if you're not sleeping, then you're cranky and you're anxious and you're not productive at work. And it can cause problems down the road. And it can contribute to things like blood pressure problems and heart disease and other medical issues. So those are two of the big things. But also vaginal dryness. That is a huge problem, and that's related to urinary tract infections and, of course, issues with comfort and sex.
Well, so again, ultimately, talk to your doctor about this. There are options for you if you are, that's just, I mean, again, it wasn't a walk in the park. I had the hot flashes and stuff like that, but I certainly don't feel like I suffered to the extent that I'm hearing about some other women going through. That's terrible.
Yeah, yeah. But you know what's nice is to know that there's help out there. That's the main thing. You know, passing along this information can really help some women out. And we just need to know about it.
Yeah, definitely.
And there have been two huge barriers. One is the fact that it's women's health, and we have a hard time talking about women's health issues. But the other barrier was the Women's Health Initiative, which was this huge study that came out 2 decades ago that looked at hormone therapy. And we thought that it was going to be good for women's hearts, which it probably is. But some of the early information showed that it actually caused strokes and heart attacks in some populations of women. So a lot of people got really nervous, including doctors, and people were just like, I don't need it. It's not that important. I'm not going to do anything. And that's where the rise of some of these alternative therapies have really come from. But there are solutions. So if you are suffering, if you need answers, go to your doctor. we can find solutions for you, and they need to be tailored toward your own personal needs and your history.
Absolutely. And you wanted to mention something, too, about there are new guidelines for cancer screenings.
New lung cancer guidelines. Guys, we need to start thinking about lung cancer like we screen for mammography. If you have a 20-pack year history, which means you smoked a pack a day for 20 years, and you are between the ages of, I think it's 50 and 74, you need to be screened every single year with a CT scan to make sure that there is not an early lung cancer developing there. The key to treating lung cancer, which is the number one cause of cancer-related deaths in this country, is early diagnosis. If we can diagnose lung cancer when it's still in the lungs, the five-year survival rate is like 65%.
Wow.
So if we think about lung cancer screening the way we think about breast cancer screening, think of all the lives we'll save.
That's really important.
That's really important information too, because I would never have thought about that. You know, and I mean, honestly, I went to school in the 70s. I mean, if everybody was smoking. Everybody. So I think that this is really super important for women to know too.
And women and men. And currently only about 10% of eligible folks get their screening nationwide. 10%. So the other 90%, get in there.
Let's get out there and do it, people, and get your screenings. All right. When we come back, ringing in the ears.
Yeah, boy, howdy. I can't wait to hear you on this one.
Will you be able to hear her on this one?
This is something that a lot of people struggle with. So when we come back, we are going to chat about the ringing of the ears. Stay with us if you can. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry, Carol Kane, and Greg Bach. Joining me in studio, Calvin is on the board, and we'd love to hear from you as well at 844-967-2789. I had a quick text from Gary. We were just talking about hormone estrogen therapy and hormone replacement therapy for women who are struggling with menopause. And Gary checking in from the 262, I'm glad I'm a man. We are too, Gary. Yes, we're happy you are.
You know what, Gary? From one guy to another sort of guy, good job.
And also, can I just note that nobody enjoyed that bumper music? I'm every woman more than Greg Bach in the studio right now.
You should watch the live stream. I'm telling you, you really should watch the live stream just for the chair dancing moves. And apparently yesterday was a good facial expression day.
Great facial expression day. And I'm just toot my own horn for it. You get 4 hours of me chair dancing a day.
That's right. You're producing now.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, heck yeah. All right. Let's move on to ears, Dr. Lyerly. And Carol has had...
Yeah. I've had tinnitus or tinnitus, however you want to pronounce it, for a long time. My dad had it. My brother has it. My question for you is, one, I know that there's a certain amount of damage that I've done to my hearing just because of the fact that I've been in this business for 40-some years, and I've worn headphones for hours and hours on end. But is there any kind of like hereditary influence when it comes to something like this?
Oh, that's a really good question.
Well,
I don't know about a hereditary influence directly on tinnitus, but there are underlying conditions that can contribute to tinnitus. So my recommendation, given how hereditary it's been, would be to talk to your doctor about it, especially if it's causing problems in your day-to-day life. If it's just little and it's kind of intermittent and it's not really bothering you, then and it goes away, then don't worry about it. But if it's persistent and it's causing disruption or even just anxiety related to the tinnitus, you really ought to get it checked out. It could be an indicator of something more.
And what can they do for tinnitus, Dr. Lyerly?
There's not a whole heck of a lot that you can do. There are some supplements and dietary changes, you know, healthier living kind of stuff, but there's not like a silver bullet or a medication or even really a medical procedure that can treat it. The symptoms tend to wax and wane, and if there's an underlying condition, we can treat that. But for the most part, you just kind of learn to live with it.
Boy, that's got to be really challenging.
Woofers.
It's mine's a concert all the time. I have a personal symphony that's going on all the time. And to tell you the truth, I've gone to see ENTs, I've had my hearing checked, and I was just told, get hearing aids. That's it.
Does that solve the problem, though?
No, they don't solve the problem, but it probably can aid in your hearing, right, Doc?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it certainly can help some people. Hearing aids don't work for everybody either, but if your main problem is hearing loss, hearing aids can help. If your main problem is that constant ringing in your ear, whatever that sound sounds like to you, that's hard. That's really troubling, and it can create other issues like anxiety, depression, frustration, obviously. So that's tough, Carol.
Oh, you know, I'm just kind of used to it, in all honesty. I mean, it's been going on for so long that I just kind of resigned. What am I going
to
do?
Right. It's just part of what you have to deal with.
It's part of the charming Carol that I am.
It's part of the whole Carol package. Yes.
But I think
there are some things, though, that people can do. Maybe not for you, because, you know, it sounds like this is hereditary, so who exactly knows whether it was handed down or if it was environmental. But for those of us who are exposed to loud sounds, even something like a leaf blower or a lawnmower, it's not a bad idea to wear hearing protection. Musicians often will wear hearing protection, like, you know, drummers, or if you go to loud concerts, it's not unusual for people to have earplugs that they wear. I was on the drum line in college and we all had earplugs that were issued to us. We weren't great about wearing them, but that would have been smart back then. But even something like a hairdryer can be really loud. Like if you're a hairdresser and you're constantly faced with, you know, loud hairdryers, that can even cause a problem. So if you recognize that you are going to be in a situation where you're being exposed to something louder than 70 decibels, not a bad idea to wear something to protect your hearing.
844-967-2789. If you have a question or you want to chime in with Dr. Kristen Lyerly during our public service announcement, Sandy from Milwaukee is on the phone. Good morning, Sandy.
Hi.
Hey, good morning. I love the conversation about tinnitus or tinnitus or however you choose to pronounce it. And I just want to make a couple comments too. Having worked in a factory for 30 years, you would think that would be the contributing factor, but not necessarily. I discussed it with my doctor. I said, I want you to flush my ears out to see if you can get that ringing to stop. And he just kind of sat back in the chair. He says, it's not in the ears. It's in the brain. It comes from the brain.
Huh.
That the sound that you get comes from the brain because it's trying to make up for a portion of hearing loss that you have. So it's making the noise, not in the ears. Now, maybe, what do you think?
It's the damaged hair cells in the cochlea deep inside your ear, inside your inner ear, trying to communicate with your brain. So yeah, your doctor is right, but it does have to do with damage that's deep inside that washing out your ears won't help. Now, if you do have impacted wax in there, that can definitely affect your hearing. So if your doctor looks inside your ear and they can see that there's wax or that there's something stuck in there, removing that should help. And by the way, Q-tips, we've all heard, don't ever put anything smaller than your elbow in your ear. Kind of true.
Don't tell me what to do.
Thank you for calling, Sandy. Really appreciate it. I love my Q-tips. Sometimes it gets itchy, yeah. And I want to scratch the inside of my ear.
Can I ask a really quick question on this topic? Where can one go to get their ears cleaned or flushed? Because I would like to do that. I understand Q-tips aren't the best, but where can someone go?
Primary care docs, for the most part. And actually, it's a nurse that'll flush out your ears for you.
Oh, great.
So you can just go to your doc and... Yeah. Tell them I need a little flush.
Flush the old hearing flush the old hearing holes, huh?
If you ever have
they're going to want to look first, though.
Right. They're not going to do it just for fun, Greg. So maybe they'll
then
take
never
it
mind. Oh, forget it. It. Forget it.
If you ever have a question for Dr. Lyerly, you can text it in. You can email us at asgoeswisconsin@civicmedia.us or text it at 844-967-2789. Always a pleasure to have you, Dr. Lyerly. We will talk to you next Thursday.
Thank you.
Thanks, Doc.
I love hanging out with you guys.
Take care. And stay with us when we come back. Coming up next, we have Paul Noonan. We're talking all things sports balls. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
We take this disgrace. Another Bears fan throwing insults in our face. The Packers are the greatest team to ever play the game.
Welcome even to As Goes Wisconsin. Jay Matinier in for Kristen Bry. Calvin's on the board. Greg and Carol with me in studio. And joining us, as he does every other Thursday, he is a sports reporter and contributor for the Packer website Acme Packing Company, as well as Baseball Prospectus in Milwaukee. Paul Noonan is joining us. Good morning, Paul. How you doing?
Hi.
Hey, morning. Doing great this morning.
Hi, Paul.
Good. Well, I was at the bank yesterday, and I really like this bank because there's actually people who work there. So when you go in, it's not
okay,
empty.
Grandma.
But it was nice. It was, you know, so I did. I'm talking to the teller, Andy, and we're just kicking things around. And he brings up the Packers trading Rasul Douglas, and he is not happy. And from what I understand, a lot of people and even other fellow teammates are not happy, Paul.
Yeah, the rest of the Packers are definitely not happy with this. So to start off, Rasul Douglas is a very good player and has been for several years. He is definitely a leader in the locker room. He's a good follow on Twitter. He's like a good personality. And nobody has a bad word to say about the guy. The problem here is just the Packers made a business decision, and it's when you've lost four games in a row and you've looked kind of listless, business decisions start to happen. And the fact of the matter on Rasul is he's 29, and the Packers, I think, made an assessment that they're probably not competing this year. It's not looking great. Next year, their situation is pretty similar in terms of just cap space, whether they have Love or not, it'll be one more developmental year or a new quarterback. And so by the time they're going to legitimately compete with a fresh set of cap space and experienced players, it's going to be 2025. And Rasul Douglas is going to be 31. And 31-year-old corners tend not to be very good. They do not age well unless they're like Charles Woodson or one of the best of all time. And so it's bad. But, you know, the way to prevent this is to actually win some games and stay in contention. And then guys don't get traded. So, like, I feel for all the Packers. It's tough business, and it is a business, and it could be worse because the Bears did the opposite of this, and it's going to hurt them down the road. But it's sad to see, but I think it's probably the correct decision in the grand scheme of things.
So is LaFleur on the hot seat? Because I can't I walked away from the game and I was just disgusted. I hate to say it, but I was disgusted. You know, the offense sucks. What is happening?
I think he is on the hot seat, and I'm surprised to be saying that right now, but I don't think he is the best coach to have for a young team. It does seem like he works better with older players, if he works well at all. You know, there's been an open question as to whether LaFleur was actually good the last few years or was just Aaron making things work. Because, you know, whatever you think of Aaron, he's real good at football. He is a football savant, and he will cover up a lot of issues. And I think there's a lot of evidence that this is a lot on, this is a lot of LaFleur problems. We've had a few people run some analysis on how teams are doing on their script plays, the first 15 plays of the game, basically. And that analysis is now 3 weeks old, but the Packers were the worst team in the league on their script. And they've scored, I think, 3 points since that analysis on their script. So they're definitely still the worst team in the league. They have 29 points in the first half this year as a unit in the aggregate, which is something like the 100th worst amount of all time. And that's just on the coach. Like that's when you have time to prepare and draw up plans and, you know, get all your creative stuff out there. And they're just awful. That it's I don't think you can blame anybody else except LaFleur for at least the start of games. So I think he's on the hot seat. I think that they maybe will look to bring in somebody who's a little bit better with a younger roster, and he should be worried. His other coaches, his assistants, should be very worried.
Here's what I don't understand, and maybe you can explain it to me, Paul. Why can they not catch the damn ball?
Oh, I can't explain this one. This is one of my specialties. In the draft, when they pick receivers, they actually tend to ignore hands as a quality. It's because it's actually one of the things that you can develop at the pro level. Like, you can't make a guy faster. You can't really make a guy like more agile. But historically, you actually have been able to make guys hold onto the ball better, catch the ball better. And the best example of that is Devontae Adams, who was a butcher catching the ball for the first 2 years of his career and, you know, will now be a Hall of Famer. But the problem is it takes like 3 years for that to happen, and all of their receivers are less than 2 years in the league, but all of them had hands problems coming out of college. Jaden Reed did not have good hands coming out of Michigan State. Christian Watson had notoriously bad hands coming out of North Dakota State, and they've been trying to coach him up on that for a while. He has all kinds of other problems, too. Dontavian Wicks, who is, I think, their best young receiver who doesn't get enough playing time, it's a problem for him. And the only one who's any good at it at all is Romeo Doubs, and he is below league average in bringing in contested catches. Their receivers have 53 attempted contested catches on the year, and they've brought in 9 as a unit. the NFL average is 48%, and they're down at like 10%.
Wow.
So it's a big problem, and it's a trait they kind of look for because they get bargains, but you can't have all the guys not be able to catch.
Well, that's problematic when none of them can actually hang on to a ball.
Yeah, it is. It is disgusting. They didn't help him out at all last game. Love wasn't even that bad last game. The interception he threw to Reed should have been caught. Like, it just let a guy take it away from him. So, yeah, that is a major problem as well. The receivers are not good.
Paul Noonan is our guest. He's a sports columnist, and he joins us every other Thursday as we kick around.
Oh, my God.
All things sports balls.
Now, I believe the last time you were here, you were talking about, when we were talking about the Packers, they were about to play the Broncos, who you said had the worst defense in the NFL. I'm not a huge football fan, I will admit, but I did watch that game because I felt, all right, if we're going up against the worst defensive team, then we have a good shot, and we lost. And I'm asking you, as a guy who does this for a living, when you watch that happen, is that where you started to say, oh no? Or was the, like, because we've lost two more since, correct?
I think one more since.
I
mean, that is definitely an oh-no game. The Raiders game was before that, and that was kind of the this-might-be-a-problem game.
Yeah.
But every team that's played Denver, except Kansas City last week, and they have some similar issues to the Packers, has, if nothing else, been able to just run the ball against the Broncos without any opposition whatsoever. They're not good against the pass either, but when you've gotten into trouble, you've just been able to run for like 200 yards on them, and it's been fine. Packers couldn't do that. Their offensive line has been terrible run blocking. Aaron Jones has been hurt and limited, and A.J. Dillon has been his own kind of problem, so they couldn't capitalize on that for the Broncos. And then same old on the in the passing game. They just couldn't take advantage of weaknesses, which has been an ongoing theme. Like, I do a breakdown podcast every week of the opposing team's weaknesses on defense, but like it's kind of unsatisfying because it's barely mattered. The Packers just can't take advantage of any weaknesses. Oh, like it happens every week.
They're
like,
handing us the ball. What do we do? I don't know. Yeah. Just put it on the ground. I have no idea.
Great. You're a subpar player. Come on, join the Packers.
So what's your prediction for this Sunday, Paul?
So I think they'll probably lose this game. However, this is another in a stretch where they should win. They're playing against the Rams, who will be missing their starting quarterback, Matthew Stafford, almost for sure. I think
he's still playing.
Yeah, and he's been having a really good season.
He's
had a really nice bounce back season. The Rams did a really nice job drafting receivers who can actually catch the ball. The guy to keep an eye on is Puka Nakua, who they drafted in the fifth round and for quite a while was actually leading the NFL in most receiving categories. He's come down a little bit because they got Cooper Kupp back, who's their other very good receiver. But they're going to be starting a backup quarterback, Brett Rippon, who's not very good. So the Packers should be able to, you know, keep this close, if nothing else. But the problem is the Rams are still good at things the Packers aren't good at stopping. They're good at running the ball. They have a good offensive line, and Joe Barry his team can never stop the run. So they can grind it out on us. And then the Ram defense is pretty good, especially up front where they still have Aaron Donald, who is the best defensive interior player maybe ever. Going to be a very struggling interior Packer offensive line with Royce Newman and Josh Myers. It's a nightmare matchup. So it's going to be kind of a rock fight, I think. Probably not a lot of scoring, but they're... The Rams, even with a backup quarterback, I think probably get this done. And then we can talk about moving on to the
draft. But hey, all those young men look great in the uniform.
They did. They look nice. They look nice in their outfits.
Yeah, in their outfits. So, okay, here's my question for you, Paul, when it comes to what you were just talking about defense. What is going on with the Bucs? I mean, they've got these two superstars.
Yeah.
Do I sound frustrated with Wisconsin sports right now?
You're four games in.
You sound like me talking like just to people in my house.
But I mean, come on. We get disappointed by the Brewers. We got disappointed by the Packers. And now we've got this with these two superstars.
They play 82 games.
Yeah, this is a problem, though.
Oh, my God.
This is going to be a problem. It's only four games. It might get better. But the defense that Adrian Griffin has them playing is a very aggressive pressure the ball defense, and that's just not a good matchup for what the Bucs are as a team. That's a defense that you play with a younger team with a lot of agile guys who can get after it and can rotate very quickly. The Bucs feature like the best shot blocker and rim protector in the league in Brooke Lopez, and Giannis is also very good at that. What you want to do with the Bucs, they're also very old. They're not good at chasing people around. They get tired. Like Chris Middleton has a bad knee and he's not young anymore, and Damian Lillard's not a good defensive player. If you're the Bucks, you want to be funneling guys into the lane where Lopez and Giannis can impact their shots instead of chasing them around and getting Giannis and Lopez out of the lane because they have to cover for mistakes. And they actually have forced quite a few turnovers this year, but every other shot the teams get is one of the easiest shots that you can have in basketball. I think that they're giving up like 80% at the rim just because their rim protectors aren't there most of the time. So I think Griffin's a problem. This does not look good. Last time I was on here was right after they fired Terry Stotts. And I think they're going to need to get him some tactical help, if nothing else. Like, he's a Giannis guy. He's supposed to be an energy guy. But their tactics have been a disaster so far. Like, it has been ugly to watch. And I don't think it's going to get better unless they make drastic changes to how they actually conduct defense.
Do you have any good news for us?
That's it for Paul Noonan. Bye-bye. Yeah.
I guess Wisconsin men's hockey looks like they're good.
Yeah, they're great.
That's all I got.
Wisconsin women's volleyball is, I think, number one in the country.
Yes, and they are, of course, outstanding and excellent, but that's not a new story. That is just that we are a dynasty. So
we only have a couple minutes left, so I want to just really turn really quick to the Brewers. Craig Counsell is a free agent as of yesterday or 2 days ago, and we know he is interviewed in Cleveland and he's interviewed in New York. Now, my money is you go to the city that's bigger, has more money, and the guy who you worked with for many years, and if the owner is going to open that person and be like, make a winning team, you go to New York. I think Cleveland was just an interview, but I feel like New York is where he's going to head, especially if they're willing to pay him because he wants to bring up those manager salaries.
Yeah, I think that's entirely correct.
Yes!
Craig, yeah, I think you nailed it, honestly. Like, Craig is, of course, an ex-player, and he is definitely of the mindset where, you know, if you're in the players union or anything like it, that you want to set the bar very high for all of your, you know, your compatriots. And I do think part of his interview circuit is absolutely that. Like, he's going for top dollar, as he should. He is the best manager in the game. And I do think it's more likely than not he does end up in New York, where David Stearns also has ended up, where you can get more, you know, more stuff to play with. Cleveland is like Milwaukee. Like, they have a good front office with a good analytics department, but they have no money, and he would be doing essentially the same job he did for the Brewers. Yeah. I think there is a puncher's chance he does come back to Milwaukee if they're willing to match his salary, and they absolutely should be willing to match his salary. Like, the top,
it's not a lot. Most,
yeah, the most he's going to make is like $7 million-ish,
yeah.
seven to eight. And you get so much surplus value from having a good manager. Mm-hmm. You know, to get that same value from a player, you're going to be paying him like an extra like $10, $12, $15 million a year versus just playing Craig like $2 or $3 million more than the next best manager. It should happen. But I think he's gone. I think he could use the new challenge, and I suspect he'll end up with the Mets. But I do think the Brewers have a shot still. They just need to pony up.
Well, and I think Brewers fans will really wish him well.
We'll wish him well.
I do.
We understand that it can't stay forever. But I also just want to say real quick, listen to Paul's podcast, Milwaukee's Tailgate Brewers podcast. It's very fun. Listen.
There you go.
Appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Paul Noonan joins us every other Thursday as we talk all things sports. He's also a regular contributor for the Packer website, Acme Packing Company, and Baseball Prospectus Milwaukee. Thank you so much, Paul.
Thanks, Paul.
Really appreciate it. Stay with
Thanks
us.
Thanks for having me, guys.
Coming up next, it is cookie time. It's cookie book time. That's on the way next. You're listening to As Goes Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Bears still suck. They really, 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 really suck. Yes, the Bears still suck.
All the ladies now.
Perfume through the air.
Good morning. Welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Jane Matinere in for Kristen Bry. Carol and Greg with me in studio. Calvin on the board. And you are always invited to call and or text at 844-967-2789. 844-967.
Party.
Let me do the sentence again. 844-96
Party.
There you go. Thank you, Greg Bach. It is cookie time.
Yes, it is.
I'm so hungry.
Cookie book time. We Energies released their 2023 holiday cookie book.
These?
Hundreds of people show up
for this. Oh, my God. People love this cookie book.
They really do.
And this year they've done a really interesting little take on it that makes it even more attractive to people, because what they're doing is they're paying homage to first responders.
Yes.
And we've got recipes from all over the place, from 911 operators.
Dispatchers.
Right.
Officers.
Exactly.
All of them. It's terrific. And this is also the first year that the We Energies cookie book is including cookie recipes for dogs.
Oh, for dog biscuits?
For dog biscuits.
Oh, Poppers. That's a great idea.
It really is. It's a wonderful, wonderful idea. I bet I have 20 of their cookie books.
Oh, I've got a few, but
I've
not
saved,
that many.
I've saved all of them.
Oh, you're not alone in that.
I mean, because some of these recipes are so good.
Delicious.
And my go-to one doesn't even involve any baking. It's just all melting. You just melt things.
Oh,
is it
really?
Those chocolate things where you put it on the...
And with peanuts and like pretzel pieces.
Bridget
and
makes those all the time.
It's wonderful, and it's the easiest thing in the world. Yes. You just melt everything in a crock pot. And either
I'm so hungry.
Or pour it out in a tray, and then you cut them up, and it's like everyone loves them. So it's like, yes, I slaved I slaved melting these things.
That's so funny. That's so funny, Jane. You say you're a big fan, right? You're a big fan. And you, yes, no?
Of the cookie book?
Yes.
I am a big fan of the cookie
book. And you have a lot of those cookie books?
I do.
And you love making them?
Are you implying that I never bring them in?
Ding, ding, ding.
Well, maybe that will change.
And so what are your tastes? What kind of holiday cookies do you love? What are your favorites?
If you put coconut in it, we're done.
Oh, no coconut.
I quit the company.
You
coconut, it's disgusting.
I love coconut.
I don't want to know it.
I love coconut.
Calvin, strong feelings on coconut?
Yeah.
I like the Caramel Delight Girl Scout cookies.
You're no son of mine. Get out.
But besides that, I'm not a huge fan of coconut. Like, I don't like Almond Joys or anything like that.
Okay. All right, then.
I have strong feelings about coconut. I'm a peanut butter, peanut butter chocolate fan.
Yep.
Okay.
And, caramel.
Caramel shortbreads that are loaded with butter.
And that's all a shortbread cookie is.
Yeah.
Is butter and flour and a little sugar.
I'm with Carol on this one. I love a good a peanut butter chocolate. I'm basic. I love a dark chocolate with a sea salt on there. Some caramel. Ooh. Maybe we'll have a cookie trade.
That is like food porn.
All right, weirdo. we could do like a cookie trade.
I'll
make some cookies. We all make some cookies.
I like that idea. I like that a lot.
Yeah, and then we'll eat them while we're on the show.
Because everyone loves listening to people on the radio eat. Yes, there's nothing more attractive than the sound of chewing.
Calvin, what's your favorite cookie?
I'll just say shout out to my mom's. She makes these things she calls sour cream cookies around Christmas time, and they're really good.
My mouth just watered. I love any dessert that has a sour cream base because it's going to be so...
Dear Calvin's mom,
we're
doing a cookie exchange.
We're doing a cookie drive for charity. That charity is Greg.
I'll make sure I bring some.
It's for us. Go. Well, we're talking about the We Energies cookie book that was just released yesterday. You can see the whole thing online if you don't have an opportunity to go get it, because I think on Saturday they are going to be at AmFam Field. Passing them out again.
Are they free?
Yeah, they're free.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't want to sound like a cynic, but I just think it's very funny that the one of the companies in this state that gets the biggest criticisms from people, like, oh, We Energies, and they're like, here's a Christmas cookie. And we're like, yes, please.
Just don't look at the rising energy rates.
Bridget pays that bill.
It's a really smart thing for We Energies.
Absolutely.
And again, they've done this for decades and decades and decades. I think there are women well into their 60s and probably 70s who have been doing this, collecting these cookie books since they were kids.
And you're going to want to get there early because they will go fast.
Oh, they'll run out?
I'm new to this. It's not like they have all these different sites that you can go to. You can look at it online when you check out the cookie book, but you can find out what maybe is closer to you where you can go and get.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's not like they bring the entire, books.
Understood.
And again, you can always find it online.
Of course.
I am looking at the entire thing online right now.
Yeah.
So we will get all of these links up in the show notes after the show is over. If you want to go back and listen to anything, we had a wonderful segment with John Dietrich.
Yes.
From the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about
this
piece.
Look for that. We're pretty sure we could probably put that onto YouTube.
It's really worth watching when he's talking about the rise of suicides in Wisconsin and particularly in rural areas. Dr. Kristen Lyerly, thank you to her. Thank you to Paul Newman.
And
again, thank you to John Dietrich. And to all of you, thank you, Greg and Carol and Calvin. And all of you listening and all of you watching on the stream, we really, really, really appreciate it. Without you, we are nothing.
Right.
Without you, we got nothing.
It's like a song.
And you get a rerun tomorrow because I'm coming back. So.
She is coming back tomorrow. Absolutely. Dr. Michael McCutcheon will be here to fix your life. That's at 11:06 and all kinds of things we will make up along the way. Stay tuned. The Todd Albaugh Show is coming up next. You are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Have a great day.
God. questions I have now.